things new. All things new. Aren't you glad that it's him that is leading, guiding, speaking? Because if we had it our way, if we really had it our way, we'd mess some things up. But when he's in charge and he's leading, he's guiding, he does things that reflect his nature, his goodness, and what he has in store for us. We just have to be willing to allow him to do it. That's the surrendering. So I want you to look at your neighbor and say, ready or not, here I come. Say it one more time. Ready or not, here I come. Now say it like you really mean it. Ready or not, here I come. Stand to your feet and say it. Ready or not, here I come. Now I want you to look to your neighbor behind you, to the side of you, in front of you, which way you want to get him. But go and tell him, ready or not, here I come. Now I want you to go right at them, looking them in the eyes, give them a hug and say, I love you. Come on, go hug them and tell them, I love you. Look them in the eyes, I love you. Ready or not, here I come. Ready or not, here I come. Come on, hug them, hug them, hug them. Ready or not, here I come. There you go. Hug, hug, hug them all. Hug them all. Hug them. Ready or not, here I come. Hug them. Ready or not, here I come. That's it, that's it. Ready or not, here I come. Ready or not. Here I come. Say it now. Say it now. I want to hear you say it. Ready or not. Here I come. Ready or not. Here I come. Yes, yes. Ready or not, here I come, donuts. Ready or not, here I come, coffee. Come on now. Come on, most churches will be ending right about this time. We just getting ready to get started. Ready or not, here I come. Ready or not, here I come. Now, you know your pastor. Your pastor has a tendency to do things just a little bit different at times. Not I. Ready or not, here I come. So what do you think the title of the message is today?
Here I come. Ready or not, here I come.
Ready or not, here I come. Now if I can get Josh on the guitar. Tommy Gunn. I know you're visiting today. Tommy Gunn. That's not his real name. I'm sorry. Can you get on the drums, please, sir? Come on, sir. Come on.
Come on.
Ready or not, here I come. Now, this is what I want you to do. See, there's some things that take place in the atmosphere when God is getting ready to transition you. He's getting ready to transition you into something that you have yet to experience. But I want you, if you would, to begin to experience a transitional phase. Now don't give me something soft and mellow. I want you to drive him into a different sound. I want you to go ahead and pick the tempo up and let him jump in with you. Now just give me something that's going to give me up tempo. I'm going to show you something as a people. You ready, sir? All right. Transition. Do you feel the transition? Stop. Sometimes we gotta feel it before we experience it. Sometimes it feels a little strange at first. But you've got to hear the sound, and then you've got to get acclimated to the sound, to feel it, to move into transition. Now, once you get in sync, what seemed awkward at first now has purpose and meaning to what you're doing. You understand? What was first awkward, strange, and different. But once you get in sync, it begins to do its purpose. Yeah. Watch this. He just came to visit today. He just came to visit. Y'all don't know each other. But how is it that two instruments that do not know each other can become in sync with one another? What was once strange and awkward. Yes, right? Both y'all look at each other like, up, slow, what chord? I know nothing about music other than I listen to it. Then you're trying to find out what key, what note, right? And then once they find that, all of a sudden they begin to gel together. But what was first awkward, what was unknown, comes together once you start surrendering to it. Do you understand? Ready or not, here I come. Thank you, gentlemen. Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you. Ready or not, here I come is the title of this message, and I thank you for being obedient. Thank you, sir. Thank you. Josh is like, no, what? I was getting ready to start going off in some worship for you, Pastor. I was going to do it. But it came out good. Ready or not, here I come. This will be the conclusion of Train Up a Child. We have been under the guidance of training up for some time. But what is to come is why we're being trained up. So ready or not, here comes transition. Here comes transition. Give me more on my mic, sir. Here comes transition. Now, when I said ready or not, here I come, how many of you went to that game as a child, hide and seek? Huh? You know you did. Don't act like you didn't play it. You know you did. Some of you would play with your children and say, okay, y'all go hide and I'll count and then I'll find you. But you would never go look for them. You know it. You know how you did. You just need a little bit of peace for a minute. Okay, mama's going to count and you go hide and I'll come find you. One, two. And then, and the kids would go and run and they'd hide and they would kind of hide close by because they wanted to see when you would get up to go look, and then they wouldn't see you get up. They're like, you're not playing right. So then when they would finally get you engaged to actually play the game, then they would find good hiding places. And then as parents, we'd go start looking for the children, right? But then what would give children away is they got impatient hiding. Yeah. They wanted to be found. Sometimes they'd be hiding. They start laughing the closer you would get. And they, like, you know, they're right underneath the table. It has no tablecloth, but there's a table right there, and they're hiding on top of the chairs. You can see their foot hanging off the chair. You knew they were there, but you would play along like, where are you? Ready now, here I come. And you would go walk, and they would see you at a distance as you're going to the living room. Okay, ready or not, here I come. Counting and counting. It's the countdown. But the thing is, you tell them to what number you're counting to. Right? Okay, what are you going to count up to? Okay, and they would say, okay, you got to count to 100. You're like, she'll be there a long time. Then we'd come out, okay, count to 20. Then that wouldn't even take long. Just count to 10. So then they're rushing to hurry up and go hide somewhere, right? So usually it wasn't outside of the room. It was usually right there. But if you were like kind of like my kids, hiding in garages and pantries and hiding in cars, two streets down, you know, just hiding everywhere. You can't find me, forgetting about that there was, you know, boundaries you couldn't go. You can't go outside, but our kids had a tendency to want to go past those boundaries. Hiding behind cars and stuff at night, because how many of you would play hide and go seek when it was nighttime?
Yeah,
until the spider lands on you. Find me, I'm done. I'll be the next one to go look for people. That spiders on you, bugs on you, because you can't see what's actually out there. You think you're the only one hiding. There's something hiding with you. Some things only come out at night. Well, I ain't going to start singing the song because y'all pray. Hey. We already had tithes and offering about getting too drunk. And who let the dogs out? I like it. I know I'm in a real church. You say that in some of the Holy Ghost filled, you know, churches, and who let the dogs out? Well, where are the dogs? Can you put them out? Call 911. But you say that in a real church. Real folk got some real issues. Been in the real world. You come in, who let the dogs out? Who? You're the one started it, Lionel. Now, and then you come into church thinking you're going to hear a word from the Lord, and the preacher's over here talking about hide and go seek. Is this a church? They got all the makings of a church, but I don't know. Hide and go seek, I don't know if this is a real church. Because they're talking about stuff when you hide, there's spiders, and I don't like no spiders. Then they start talking about how when you're hiding, there's other things hiding with you. The hide and go seek is God is saying, I need you to find me. I need you to find me in the midst of your darkness, in the midst of you carrying something that only comes out at night. It was once said in here, freaks come out at night. The freaks come out at night. Someone got that beat. Someone got it. They went real quick and they said, oh no, I'm in church. The freaks come out at night. The freaks come out at night. The freaks come out at night. God says, I'm going to keep your night seasons all the time unless you start getting rid of those things. I don't know about you. I don't like the night seasons. Because what used to thump during the day didn't scare me, but when it thumps at night, it does scare me. You know, it's the cat just running around, but at night it seems like it's 10,000 things running around and your mind begins to play tricks with you. But ready or not, here it comes. Transition. So what are you talking about, transition? You go to hide and go seek in the transition? Well, I'm going to talk to you about when I was in Africa and I happened to be there with Elder Papa Louie, Mama Rita. And we're driving what they call the bush. We're driving out to the bush. And when they say the bush, literally means the bush. You wouldn't know that there was whole kinds of homes and colonies, if you would, and tribes all back there off of the main road. And you drive, you know, some of y'all have ever been, you know, exploring out in trails and stuff. You know that if you go further enough into the woods, all you're going to find is more woods. But in Africa, when you start going into the woods, you find people like in another city. Now, they're so far into the bush, there is no infrastructure, if you would, hospitals and doctors and stuff like that. So if you're pregnant, mama's in here. We just talked about on Wednesday night being stretched. Now, I know when you get pregnant, your beautiful figure, the hourglass figure, goes because you're being stretched. Now, I don't know about you, but I've been around my wife when she's pregnant. Now, when you're being stretched and you're pregnant and you happen to be pregnant during the summer months. No, it's just too unbearable. It's hot. It's not only is it hot, everything gets on your nerves. Everything. We'll say it this way. Everyone. Now, you're being stretched to give birth. Why is it that we're so uncomfortable during the time of the greatest joy that's getting ready to come forth? Right? You're being so stretched. Some of us, you know, you're not supposed to be, you know, scratching your belly because it leaves what? Oh, it leaves a remembrance that you've been stretched. And we put all that kind of lotion and go buy all the expensive what is it? The cocoa butter and what's that? There was another one. Which one? Oh, I use Beautify oils. And it's organic, and then now we transition now to organics, and we've got to use coconut oil and just okay, because there's a remembrance of that you went through a transitional phase in your life. And as much as that oil you want to put, as much as the beautified lotions you want to put, there's going to be a remembrance that you were in transition to where you once were. And many of us want to go back to that one figure that we had before we got pregnant. And I can talk about this. Because when my wife was pregnant with my son, my wife didn't even know she was pregnant. I mean, you know, okay, I'm just going to say this. Some of you youngsters in here need to hear this. So, oh, Lord Jesus, okay. This is on that edge. This is on that edge. You want to get your baby girl on the pill because it helps with the menstrual cycle. But the development of our young girls today think that because they're on something that protects them from one thing, it believes that they have a false sense of security about everything. I have a right now. No, you don't have a right. And I understand in the medical field that when you are on a birth control, it does lessen and it helps through the cycles of a young woman. But in the mindset of the society today, don't worry, this isn't on my notes. This is for free, so take it. Young ladies begin to feel that because they are on the pill, it gives them that right to go and sleep around because they can't get pregnant. For those of you that think that mama or daddy will never know, God knows all things. And mamas find out everything. 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 So I say this about the pill. My wife was on the pill. We were married. We weren't planning. But it wasn't our plans. It was God's plans. So we were that 1%. So what that mean? What that mean? What that mean? Y'all youngsters in here looking at me. What that mean, Pastor? What that mean? Y'all getting all scared, hearts beating real fast, starting to sweat. What that mean, Pastor? That means ain't nothing is 100%. The one thing that is to abstain. Church is over. God bless you. Abstain. Stay away from. Till they put a ring on it. And I ain't talking about a ring that just says maybe. Talking about a ring that means yes. And when you say I do, then you can. This is for free, y'all. This ain't on my notes. We there? Okay, just saying. Just saying. I'm going to go back to my train of thought here. Abstain. Now, my wife gets pregnant. She didn't know that she was pregnant with my son. But all of a sudden, my body starts to change. My cravings. I didn't understand about pickles and ice cream until she got pregnant. I craved the pickles. I craved the ice cream. It make no sense to put the two together. And then and then you just, your whole taste buds, everything begins to change. You start to desire things that just, they don't go. Now I understood what it meant to have the sympathy symptoms of pregnancy. Heartburn. Morning, afternoon, night, middle night sickness. Mean, not her, mean. I had it all. They didn't know she was pregnant, but they looked at her husband and they said, who's pregnant here? And they said, there's something going on with Marty. And Marty said, I'm feeling good. Excuse me. My body began to change. I felt, what's going on, Lord? My 28s are no longer 28s. They went to 34. I understood what it was to be bloated. I said, Lord, why are you doing this to me? My wife is pregnant, not me. He says, you need to experience something. Because the birth, of this child, you must understand I'm transitioning you out of what you know and into something you do not know. But you have to understand that it is I that is driving you there, and you have to experience the pain of transition. I said, I don't want to do this. I had it all the way till he was born. You would look at my wife, how's your pregnancy? This is the best one ever. All baby weight. All pregnancy weight. She had the baby, baby weight gone. Why are you laughing? Why are you laughing? I'm still trying to get delivered. But I then knew, not all of it, because there wasn't a baby inside of me. But I began to understand that even our surroundings change. My palate changed. My cravings went through the roof. My body was going through something. I had no clue what was going on. Then after the baby, Josh comes into this world and my cravings are gone. I don't have mornings. I don't have the sickness, I should say. I don't have the heartburn anymore. But then my body was never the same. I said, God, what is it? He says, every time, moms can attest to this, that you have babies, your hips, they separate and they don't go back. You say, oh, they go back. No. They don't go back to what they once were. You've been stretched. You've been stretched for purpose. Amen. For purpose. Now, you're saying, Pastor, you're gonna conclude on training up a child, but here we are talking about birth. Well, I'm going to tell you something. Some of y'all have been in a transition, not even knowing, ready or not, your transition is coming. Your transition is coming. Turn with me to Ezekiel 16, please. Ezekiel 16, we're going to read verses 1 through 14. I'm going to read out of the New English Translation. Ezekiel 16, verses 1 through 14. When you're there, say amen. Ezekiel 16, verses 1 through 14. Are we there? All right. The word of the Lord came to me, son of man, confront Jerusalem with her abominable practices and say, this is what the sovereign Lord says to Jerusalem. Your origin and your birth were in the land of the Canaanites. Your father was an Amorite and your mother a Hittite. As for your birth, on the day you were born, your umbilical cord was not cut, nor were you washed in water. You were certainly not rubbed down with salt, nor wrapped with blankets. No eye took pity on you to do even one of these things for you to spare you. You were thrown out into the open field because you were detested on the day you were born. I passed by you and saw you kicking around helplessly in your blood. I said to you, as you lay there in your blood, live. Watch this. It repeats itself. I said to you, as you lay there in your blood, live. I made you plentiful like the sprouts in a field. You grew tall and came of age so that you could wear jewelry. Your breasts had formed and your hair had grown, but you were still naked and bare. Then I passed by you and watched you, noticing that you had reached the age of love. I spread my cloak over you and covered your nakedness. I swore a solemn oath to you and entered into a marriage covenant with you, declares the sovereign Lord, and you became mine. Then I bathed you in water, washed the blood off of you, and anointed you with fragrant oil. I dressed you in embroidered clothing and put fine leather sandals on your feet. I wrapped you with fine linen and covered you with the silk. I adorn you with jewelry. I put bracelets on your hands and a necklace around your neck. I put a ring in your nose, earrings on your ears, and a beautiful crown on your head. You were adorned with gold and silver, while your clothing was of fine linen, silk, and embroidery. You ate the finest flour, honey, and olive oil. You became extremely beautiful and attained a position of royalty. Your fame spread among the nations because of your beauty. Your beauty was perfect because of the splendor which I bestowed on you, declares the sovereign Lord. Father, I thank you for the reading of your word. I thank you for it to be true and everlasting. I thank you that as you guide me to minister this word, Lord, to teach this word, Father, you prepare the hearts of the people to be prepared and ready for here you come. I thank you for transition, and I thank you, Father, that we are in position for the transition. So, Father, I thank you in Jesus' mighty name. And all of God's children said, amen. We must be in position for the transition to go from here to there. Now, talking about being pregnant, you have a baby that's inside of you. Now, all you men in here, don't get it all sideways. Well, he's going to talk about babies. I can't have no baby. I'm talking to you about your purpose. I'm talking about you as that baby. You are that baby. Now you're beginning to grow, and everything that is attached to you while you're in the womb through the umbilical cord, you are now taking the nutrients of the source of life. You're taking the nutrients and you're eating and you're taking the things that you need. You don't have to cry for because you want milk. You don't have to cry because you want food. Anything that you need is already coming to you. It's coming to you. It's just coming to you. You don't have to even do anything but just be in the comfort of the sack. And you begin to grow, and in the growing process, the outside begins to grow as well. Because what's growing on the inside also makes change on the outside. But if we're more focused on the outside than what's on the inside, we can do something that's very detrimental to the thing that God wants for you to have. You can hurt your progress if you don't surrender to the source. He's the truth, the way, and the life. Now, as a baby that's growing up, and the baby is just growing and growing, and you think, oh my God, how is this little thing the size of an almond, the size of a, what is it now? They can tell you the size of the baby, and then they'll show you, this is your baby, the size, and they always represent it by the size of usually fruit. Fruit. Why would the doctors even use fruit? Because it's the fruit of your womb. Because the fruit of your womb, you're blessed. Now, I want you to think about this. As you're in transition in your life, how many times do you feel like everything that you need is just right there when you need it, right? Yeah, God, I need rent paid and it's there, right? No. It's not. Would that make you question whether or not you're connected to the source? Uh-huh. God, I just need to, I need to get clothing for the kids because they're in school and they're growing. And so just give it to me, God. Right? We ask that. How many times does it happen? Sometimes he's just like, oh, really? Let's look about your spending habits. Let's look about how you continue to do certain things a certain way, but then at the end of the month, you don't have what you need when you need it. Now, as a baby inside, we're connected through the umbilical cord. We're reading here in the story that the prophet Ezekiel is saying that God told him, I want you to prophesy this to Jerusalem. Who is Jerusalem? We are. Why is he saying that? Because we're in transition. Ready or not? Here it comes. Now, when I was in Africa and I went through the bush and I began to see there were some pregnant women out there. So I asked Mama Rita, I said, Mama Rita, where's the hospital? They do it the same way it was done in biblical times. I said, what do you mean? I said, because I'm not standing on cement or carpet. I'm standing on dirt. And those houses that I'm looking at, these huts, they're made out of cow dung. Cow dung. You know what that is? It's the patties. Okay. That's the poo-poo. And what they would do is go get it when it was fresh. Mix it with hay. And then what they would do is begin to put it with sticks that they would form around. Now, no bigger than this circumference of this corner. And inside those huts, families of 7, 8, 10. On the ground. They had no AC. They had no carpet. They had no pest control coming around, making sure nothing else is going to get through. And so how are they going to have babies there? So they used the midwives. They still use midwives. I said, have you witnessed? She goes, I've delivered some of them. I said, Mama Rita, are you serious? She says, yeah. And then the two baby girls that were there in the compound with us, she actually helped them. Because you don't go to the hospital to give birth. Because you got to take your own sheets and your own medication. When you get to the hospital, just sign your life away. Mm-hmm. So Mama Rita says, well, what we do is we do that same thing that they would say. They have a stool. Now, don't let me talk to you about the conditions of stools. Hallelujah. And she said, we had to get there and help the baby because there'd be times they're out there working in the field still, carrying water from a distance from the pumps. And then they're going in the field. Then all of a sudden their water would break. I mean, you know that when the water breaks in a woman that is pregnant, ready or not, here comes the baby. Some of you, I want to prophesy to you, the water's already been broken. And your transition is already here. Your transition is already here, but you haven't gotten in position. See, if he's trying to get you into position for the birthing, what happens is, what if the baby didn't turn around and head first? What they call that, breech? Coming out with your feet first? You've got a crown. You got to come through first with your head. But if you don't know and you're not ready, even in the transition of your spiritual walk, you won't get into position because you're so comfortable with your current surroundings. You're comfortable living, not having enough. You're comfortable living where you're at, but never being challenged. But when God begins to challenge you and stretch you, he's positioning you for your transition. And ready or not, here it comes. Look to your neighbor and say, ready or not? Here it comes. Transition is coming, but get into position. Look to the other neighbor and say, get in position. Get in position. Head first. Head first. Why? Because he's got to deal with your mindset. He's got to deal with the mindset. Your mind as a child, as a baby that's getting born, is not completely formed. Neither is the crown. Found it. There's a soft spot that allows for the skull to be molded to the cervix so that it can come forth. A skull. But how come as a baby we come out with a hole in our skull? But our mind is still being developed. In our transitional phase as Christians, if we're going through everything that we're going through, we're so comfortable to where we've been. We don't have to worry about the light. We've been in darkness this whole time. We don't have to worry about food. We're being fed. We're connected to the umbilical cord. But when it's time, it's time. And God has been calling his bride to get into position, but they are so stubborn and hard-headed, they don't want to get into position. But when that water breaks, the water breaks because you're fully developed and ready to come. But if you're not in position, you'll make the birthing and transition process from being within harder to get to where you need to go. Then it can put it can put the baby in distress. That baby represents your promise. Because you don't want to get in position. What is that position? Tell me, Pastor. Surrender. Under the mighty hand of God. Quit being so haughty, so prideful, thinking you know it all, so you don't have to get in position. Because of my intellect, it's going to get me there. You'll be breached. Because where he's going to take you, you've never been. And you need a midwife. You need someone there that can help you through the process because they've already been there. But if you think you can do it all by yourself because you got some special anointing on you. Let me tell you that the only anointing that you ever need is God. But even the anointing process, when Jesus came up out of the transitional waters of the Jordan, the Holy Spirit came upon him. And what did the Holy Spirit do? It drove him into the wilderness to be tested. Are you being tested and stretched? There's a reason for it. We've got to understand that if we don't get our mind in the right position for what God has for us, that we're going to slow down the transitional phase where he has us to go. Ready or not, here it comes. You can prepare for all kinds of things. Go paint the nursery. Get it nice and blue and go ahead and put your crib in there. Go ahead and get the sheets. Go ahead and get all the chests and get all the diapers and get all the onesies and get all the booties. Get everything in place and get it in order because here it comes. Ready or not, here it comes. But you just don't know when. Or you can do like many of the babies nowadays. I'm going to have a scheduled cesarean. I will be there at 8 o'clock in the morning. I will show up to the hospital. I don't have to be in any distress. I don't have to worry about what time this baby's coming. Because I'm already ready and prepared. And when I walk in at 8 o'clock and see my doctor's going to tell me, are you ready? I'm ready. I brought my bags because I'm ready. My house is in order. I've prepared for what is coming my way. And I am in position because I'm here because you called me to be here. But let's not forget about the cutting that takes place. I'm not going to go through the ripping process, but I'm going to go through the cutting process. You're not going to have a birth without being cut. Traditional or cesarean, you're going to be cut. I had the privilege of seeing my baby boy getting born. Cesarean. We're going to show up in the appointed time. Get to the hospital. No fuss, no muss. Just get there. For it is time. They lay her on the table. They said, sir, you can't be in here as we prep her. You know what I've been going through? You see, this body hasn't always been this way. You don't tell me I can't be in there. You don't know what I've been through. You trying to tell me I can't be in there to have my baby? You know, man, right? You know, I love you, man. Emotional roller coaster. But I'm here to tell you something that you're going to miss. Not everybody can be there. Not everybody can be there in the prepping. Not everybody's going to stay with you when you're getting prepped to deliver. Some of those that you thought were going to be called to you are going to be removed from you. Those that were close to you are going to be separated from you. Even though you've been going through a process, they're going to say, you can't come in. I got to prep for the birth. Not everybody can be there. Not everybody can see what you've been through. And then all of a sudden, God says, come in. For it is time. It is time because it's coming your way. It is coming your way. And you think I've been laboring so hard. I've been going through so much. God, why is this so hard? Because you're getting ready to go someplace you've never been. You've never experienced. You need a midwife. You need someone that has been there. Say, son, I got you. You don't know what you're about to face, but I got you. Elisha needed Elijah. You need somebody that can take you there. Someone that says, I got you when you don't have the strength. Someone that says, you don't know what you're about to experience, but I got you. They're not going to understand you. It's different, but I got you. Because ready or not, here it comes. He takes you out of a place that you know and you're comfortable. And he puts you in a place you know nothing of. But we need midwives today in the church that can help you through the process. We have tough times. We step on each other's toes, come against each other. But I've been there. I can help you surrender to the will of God. Surrender. Because in the end, when the baby is born, there has to be a cutting. To cut the umbilical cord of the source of life that you once knew. To be dependent on a different source that you know not of. It's called life. But we're so connected to the source, which is God. He's going to make you cry to strengthen your lungs. He's going to make you go through the pain so that your bones can grow. He's going to make you have to learn to wait even though you didn't want to wait. He's going to teach you things that are uncomfortable because he's training you up in the way you should go. It's not going to come easy. But he put the midwives right there with you. And if you got to give birth out there alone, God, know that the Holy Spirit is right there with you. I was in a church service. And a baby was born in the restroom. The mother was by herself, scared, hiding that she was pregnant. Hiding it. Mom and dad didn't know. But in the middle of the service, all of a sudden we hear the baby cry. And we looked at each other, that's a baby. Who? That's a baby. So eventually we started taking notice of who was missing. And they went to go check. And there was a baby born on the restroom floor. Sometimes you gotta birth things all by yourself. You gotta carry the burden all by yourself. Afraid, scared. I don't know what to do. God says, I got you. The baby still had the umbilical cord attached, the afterbirth, the blood, the smell of the birth. When the EMS came, I don't know how you did it, by yourself. This was a young girl. they put her on the gurney and put her in the ambulance. And they finished the process what normally the midwife would do. Cut the umbilical cord. Clean the baby. And allow the mama to go through the afterbirth procedures. Why do I say all this? Because the scripture we just read, that God saw the baby in the field all by itself. Cast out. You've been through some situations in your life. Those that were carrying you, those are the ones that were covering you, cast you out. And you're out there in the field all by yourself. And God comes by and says, I saw you. I saw you kicking for life. And I spoke life into you. You still had everything attached to what you used to be. In transition, you'll cover and be covered in the things where you used to be. You're not completely cleansed of everything that God wants to cleanse. But He's still moving you to a new place. He says, I will get rid of all of it. I will clean you up. I will wipe you up. And I will remove the umbilical cord of the things of your past. I will break off the things of your past. I will bring you into a future that is made brighter in me. I will show you new things. I will clothe you. I will wipe you down. I will put anointing oil on you. And then I will clothe you. Ready or not, transition is here. The water is breaking. Get into position. Get into position. And if you're by yourself, He's going to be there with you. He will align you with people that have your heart. He will align you with people that see your vision. He will align you with people that say, I got you because I've been here before. I'll help you. You're not doing this alone. He'll bring your Elijahs to you. He'll bring your Naomi to you. There is always a Paul for Timothy. There is always someone to help you through. Trust God. Let Him get you through. It's not easy. Sometimes you're carrying around the after effects of your birth. And people think that you're unclean. But it's that mere fact that you're carrying something of your past that people don't realize that God has just birthed you into your future. They mishandle you. They mistreat you. And you're misunderstood. Because they didn't discern the time or the season you're in. This is when you think you're alone. When you're doing it all by yourself. He shows up right in the middle of the field that you've been laying. Left for dead. There's no one there that can take care of you but God. There's no one there that can make the change but God. There's no one there that will understand it but God. To bring about the complete restoration of who you really are. To bring unto you the identity of Him in you. Beloved, know this, that even that what is on you is a representation of where you've been. But it's not a definition of where you're going. Clothe her in splendor, God. Clothe her in splendor. Bring to fruition that which you have shown her years ago in her dreams. Bring it to fruition, Father. Ready or not, here it comes. Ready or not, here it comes. Ready or not, here it comes. It comes. Ready or not, here it comes. It will find you. It will clothe you and bring peace to you. And put an other end to remove the hurt and the pain. They don't understand you because they don't understand the God that you serve. Trust the Spirit of God. to bring you into that transitional phase and bring peace upon you that is everlasting. Never allow them to change you. Know who you are. Know who you are, baby. Know who you are. Know who you are. Blessed. You've been in transition. Going through some stuff. Hardships. But God's saying, I didn't leave you. I've never left you. I didn't bring this hurt upon you. But I'm there to remove pain. And bring healing to you. Let you do it, beloved. Let him do it. Your body right now is beginning to feel the heat that is radiating through your body. It says there's also going to be a detox within your soul. Let God remove the impurities of the words that were spoken over your life. Words that have framed you to be only one thing. God says, that's not who I called you to be. I called you to do great things. Be blessed. Be blessed. Speak blessings from the crown of your head to the soles of your feet. And I reverse every curse that was spoken into your life. In Jesus' mighty name. Bless you, child. Receive the peace that only comes from God. For he loves you. He loves you so much. Now you're beginning to feel a little bit of lightness. Your heart is beating a little bit faster. It says, I'm going to heal the wound that is there. In your relationships, you've been taken advantage of. Wounded and hurt. Let me in there, says God. And I'll bring healing to you. And if they speak ill things towards you, that's your cue to start walking away. Because they're not meant for you. See yourself as a blessed woman of God. God bless you, Joe. Bless you. Hallelujah. I'll read this and I'll close with this scripture. Exodus 1:15 through 21. The king of Egypt said to the Hebrew midwives, one of whom was named Sisera and the other Puah, when you assist the Hebrew women in childbirth, observe at the delivery, if it is a son, kill him. But if it's a daughter, she may live. But the midwives feared God and did not do what the king of Egypt had told them. They let the boys live. Then the king of Egypt summoned the midwives and said to them, why have you done this and let the boys live? The midwives said to Pharaoh, because the Hebrew women are not like the Egyptian women, for the Hebrew women are vigorous. They give birth before the midwife gets to them. Hold your position. Be vigorous about the transition. Let him get you there. Let him take you there. Let him bring to you what you need when you need it. Let him reveal what is necessary for you. Because not everybody can enter in, and not everybody can be close. You've experienced, as you stared your promise in the eyes, you said, look at me. Wake up. Look at me. Wake up. Look at me. And he woke up. In the birthing process, not forget what I have already done. Even though they say it's one way and say he's dead, you spoke into your promise. And you said, look at me. And he opened his eyes. Beloved, I speak into your promise now. Look at him. Look at him, for it is your promise. Life came back. And life is coming back to you, sir. Life is coming back to you. You've been through the transitional phase and in the process. Many have tried to rally. Many have tried to get there. Many have tried to even stay on your tails because they want to get the blessing and get the anointing that you carry. And I'm here to tell you, beloved, it's not for you to transfer. It's not for you to give. It is for you to give unto whom I say to give. It is for you to hold on to what I've given you, for greater things I have in store for you. Things that you know not of and places you have never been, you will be. You will step not just on foreign soil across the globe, but you will step on soil that you've never been into. That they will open up the doors here in the nation of the United States, and they will say, send him here. And there will be a transference that will take place because you're going to say, ready or not, here it comes. And there will be an awakening, and there will be truth that will be spread across the land. And those that have put themselves in position, you will call down out of position and raise up sons and daughters that will take the positions and move forward, says the Spirit of the living God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you would, stand to your feet, church. Stand to your feet.